Lord, thank you for today and thank you for all the kids and your love and your grace. And God, I just pray that I won't be up here alone, Lord, and you will be with me and speak through me and teach, Lord, give gifts of teaching and you would bless this night. And I need your help, Lord. So I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, Genesis 1, starting off, guys, you can go on to ccgrandforks.org if you want to catch up, see where we were at last week, but I'll give a little bit of an overview of chapter 1 as we enter into chapter 2. Last week's study for chapter 1, the title we had was By Faith. And out of Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, verse 3 in particular, we have, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And so just really looking at the 6 days, chapter one is the first 6 days of creation. And we went day by day, and so we looked at how each day was the evening and then the morning. So the Bible does teach that the worlds, the heavens and the earth, all of this creation in the first 6 days happened in six literal days. Exodus backs it up, and if you just read it for yourself, the evening and the morning were the first day. There's no way around it, that you can't find a way to fit in billions and gazillions of years. Otherwise, God would have said or added. So he has everything in here that we need and in the word. And so we take this by faith, and we looked at Thomas and how the end of John, Thomas, you know, wanting to have the proof of Jesus rising from the dead. And we could, you know, and then how Jesus says, as he comes to him, that he says to Thomas, you know, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So, taking this by faith, God's word, right? God put everything in here that we need, and he preserved it all these thousands of years. And then as we came out of a study of Mark, you know, those that you guys are visiting, we ended in Mark 16, how Jesus goes to the disciples after the disciples are hearing the testimony of others that he's risen from the dead. Jesus goes to the disciples, and the King James says he upbraided them, right? He rebukes them for their unbelief. Right? Even after, as we talked, each chapter of Jesus going before them and telling them that he would be crucified, that he'd be raised in 3 days and ascend, right? And so God tells them everything that was going to happen, and yet they still didn't believe. And so at us in our walk in this life, you know, we have comfort in watching the disciples and, you know, Peter and the bold things that they said to Jesus, that they would not deny him, and they go off and deny him, and how our walk, we can be just like the disciples. And he promises, you know, we'll get here into chapter 2. So kind of going through chapter 1, we ended up with, you know, the sixth day, how God created. We looked at let there be, and I thought it was kind of neat how the Hebrews said that phrase, let there be, was haya in the Hebrews. So haya, let there be the light. And through the days, so it's kind of fun going through that. And let us make man in our image. So kids, we talked about how the foundation, how Jesus was there from the beginning, right? Colossians 1, describing that Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. That is our foundation, that in the beginning, God, Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that he, Jesus himself, you know, by him all things were created. And so taking that by faith, by what the word of God says, that's our foundation. Jesus being God, right, came in the flesh, fully God, fully man, went to the cross, died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead. That's the gospel, and how we are to contend for the faith of the gospel, as we talked in the Mark study. And so we enter into chapter 2. You know, we get the seventh day, these first three verses. So let's start reading it. Well, let's give this chapter an anchor, and I have a title for tonight is simply, I need help, right? You could say, you need help. And I know after this weekend of my wife being gone at the women's retreat, you know, I need help, right? And so God, how God gave me a helpmate, you know, a husband and wife, you know, that helper, that that comforter to come alongside and to help. And so Psalm 40:17 says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." And so as we look at what Jesus, what God does here in chapter 2, how he makes, you know, man, as he gives a review of that 6 day, going back and giving some details of that teledoth, that genealogy, the generations, as we'll see in verse 4, of what, you know, a little bit more in depth going back into chapter 1. So chapter 2 starts this way. He says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished," right? Those first 6 days, and all the host of them. He created all the stars, right? Just look at the splendor of his creation, right? Speaking, Psalm 19, you know, just declaring the majesty of God, of what he did and his works. That we can look outside and say, there must be a creator behind all this to put all this wonderful order in place. And he did. And that's what we believe by faith. And so, verse 2, "And on the seventh day when he was all done, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and he set it apart, sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Right? He wasn't tired. He didn't spend 6 days creating. He wasn't, "Oh, I need a break." And so God's showing us here in these first three verses of the Shabbat, the Sabbath rest that he set apart, right? For an example for us in what he's going to do in his works, as we've talked about the gospel, the works that he does, right? That we can rest in what he did. And Titus 3:5, if you want to jot this down too. As we look at what God has done, as what we looked on the gospel of what Jesus did in our life, right? That Jesus is our Sabbath rest, right? So we take rest in what Jesus, the finished work of what God did by going to the cross, dying for our sins and raising from the dead, right? And that all who believe will not perish, right? So all that do not believe will perish. And we've talked about that in the last couple of weeks, that tikva, that cord of hope that all mankind has. But that those that are born again, who have committed their trust onto him, but the Proverbs show that once that tikva is, once a man dies without Jesus, that tikva, he loses that tikva, that cord of hope, and perishes in the lake of fire for eternity. And so that should all spur us on in prayer for those that we love, to be praying for them, right? To just be crying out to God, to be saving these people that we love. Because otherwise, the reality, the Bible says, the lake of fire is for those that don't believe in the final judgment, right? And we'll see, chapter 3, as we get on from here, you know, where sin came from and mankind, the fall of man. And so, you know, Genesis, right? Guys, this Genesis meaning the origin or in the beginning is literally is what Genesis means, in the beginning, or that origin where all these things came from. So you're wondering, where did this come from? Where did sin come from? Where did Satan come from? Verse 2, we looked at the darkness upon the face of the deep. We looked at Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, how Lucifer was cast out of heaven. And we looked at how, you know, how Jesus, God, let there be light, God. And we looked, you know, there's a lot in that study that God is light, right? And in him is no darkness at all. And how iniquity was found in Lucifer when he decided he wanted to set himself up above the angels and those, the creation, and how the I wills, the five I wills in Isaiah 14, you know, being puffed up with pride, and how it was cast out of heaven. Lucifer being a created being, right? Guys, you know, you kids, as this foundation is built, Jesus is not created, right? He is the creator. And so that is, you know, as you look at all of the false doctrines around us, you know, I feel like I'm repeating myself every week, but I believe it's important that we have our foundation sure and secure in who God is, who Jesus is. And so as Jesus, as God finishes, right, Elohim, that God is what that is in the original Hebrew. And we will see, you know, Titus 3:5, kind of get back where I was, that not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, Jesus saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And to look at this, Hebrews 4, open up your Bibles, Hebrews 4, 1 through 10. I'm going to read through this so we have a grasp of, you know, our Sabbath rest, that we, our works, right? There's no works behind our salvation, right? The works follow our faith with our relationship with God as it grows, okay? You know, your mind might think of James, right? Show me your works, you know, what he says in James, you'll see your faith, okay? So Hebrews 4, therefore, the writer says in Hebrews, since a promise remains, so think of these first three verses as you're reading this, it just matches right up. Since a promise remains of entering his rest, right? God's rest. Look what he did in the beginning, the origin of all this. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do not enter that rest as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, those that are in unbelief. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not burden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. And, you know, foundational, right? The origin of all this, as we compare spiritual with spiritual, right? We rest, our Sabbath rest. We don't have to keep, you know, by the law, we don't have to keep Shabbat, right? As some try to, you know, force the church to do. But we, you know, we can come to church on a Sunday night, a Sunday morning, a Saturday night, a Monday, Tuesday, a Wednesday, and worship the Lord. We're not unto the law, okay? So we are freed from the law, but, you know, we rest in what Jesus did on his works, right? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. And, you know, so let that rest for you guys as you grasp these truths of, you know, thinking, do I have to do all these things? That's the wrong heart, right? God looks at the heart and he'll change the heart. Ask him for a new heart. You know, create in me a clean heart, O God. And he will give you that new heart. And he will change, you know, your attitude about works and the law. God didn't, you know, God fulfilled the law, and then the law is fulfilled in loving our neighbor and loving God as you read through the New Testament, and as you grasp these things as you continue to read in your devotional life through God's word, and, you know, just that exhortation to daily be in that word, his word, and these things will grow as you abide in him, you know, and this fruit, right, will be produced in your life. And verse 4, as we, you know, a lot of cool stuff in this chapter as we look at God's creation and how amazing he made it. You know, you think of all this creation that he did. Guys, you think of God, all that he did was to prepare a place for man, right? He prepared a place for him. I hope that rings a bell in what John says, and we're going to get there in John 14, that God prepared a place for man. And a dwelling place, this earth, right, was for man and for his pleasure. As we look at the Garden of Eden, Eden, that word itself means pleasure. And all the good that God's heart was to form man, and how, you know, as that Psalm says, that he thinks upon me, he thinks upon you, and what he has set for us yet in the future. And so, you know, you let your imagination run with this as creation and what it was before the flood, you know, the firmament, you know, the water above the firmament and the waters, as we read through that creation account, how much different things were before the fall and when the thorns and the thistles were given in chapter and three, and just how beautiful God's creation was, and all the animals. We talked of the beasts of the earth, the dinosaurs, and how man was at peace with God, walking with God in the garden, and just how what we get to look forward to. I hope that, you know, really want to give, you know, brighten in your mind as you consider just how beautiful, as God created this Garden of Eden and of all the trees that were pleasant to the sight, right? How much more amazing things God has planned for us yet in the future, guys. And it's gonna blow our mind. We're gonna get there, and we're gonna just be like blown away of how amazing life will be after this time of what God's doing to fulfill His prophecies and turning Israel back to Him, and in Revelation, and how we, you know, as we were exhorted to that Mark study, we're here. We're all called to preach the gospel, right? So we're here, you know, in this life. We're not here to get a better life and bigger barns and more money and all me. We're here to preach the gospel and reach the lost that are going to perish, right? Because we, you know, our heart should be that we want, you know, God's heart is that none would perish, right? No, not one. And then our hearts would be to preach the gospel, that salvation comes through, you know, the preaching of the good news. And so that's what we're doing. And there, so verse 4, these are the generations, right? The Teledoth. There's 10 generations in the book of Genesis, as we will get to them. And you think of the genealogy, the generations of the genealogy of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. So God's going to, in this chapter 2, we're going to kind of go back to, you know, day 6 and when, how God created man, right? And in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God, now we have Lord, L-O-R-D, all capitals, right? That's the Jehovah, right? The Jehovah Elohim, you know, that personal name for God, Jesus, right? Yeshua, Jehovah, right? That's the word that the Jews today won't say. They're not permitted to say that Yahweh, right? YHWH. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth. So kind of imagine how it was before, how we know it today, right? There was no rain. It's misted from the earth, and just the vegetation. There's no weeds to pick. There's nothing. It's just perfect, right? And watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed, right? He breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I have here written Psalm 139. Okay, as we, you know, we use this a lot as we're heartbroken, we're praying for abortion to end, and just how the enemy is trying to destroy life through abortion, and just how the blood that's spilled, you know, in America alone, and in killing our babies, right? How God, you know, let's read what David says here in verse 13. For you, God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. He says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. They all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And so, God's thoughts for us, God's thoughts for every human being that's been created, and you know, that God's mind is on you. So remember that. So as we humbly will come tonight and say that I need help, right? And God will help us. Verse 8, chapter 2, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, right? Covered already, Eden meaning pleasure. This beautiful garden. Just let your imagination go with what we see in the natural world now, this fallen world, this old garment that's slowly wearing away. And there he put the man whom he had formed, took, right? There he put the man he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden. Remember, Moses is writing this. And so Moses, looking back, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing this, right? Israel being that center of God's plan. So everything centering around Israel in directions. So you think of where all this is, and we know that things are different before the fall and the flood as the depths burst forth and the rain came down, right? So now we have the rivers. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. So think of, you know, God puts that in there, the gold and the gold of that land is good. There's bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is that it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth is Euphrates. And verse 15, and the Lord God took. Okay, I thought that was an interesting word there. Digging in deep to the word took is lakah. If you look at the definition, that is to seize, to snatch away, to take away. He takes the man and puts him in this garden. Okay, as we are going to compare this chapter with John 14. So kind of take a look at what God's doing as God prepares a place for man. And we're going to compare John 14 to this chapter. And it's really cool as we kind of look at it. So, and now take note of God creating, forming man, preparing a place for man. And now we're going to get down here to what God does. He takes man. He snatches away man, puts him in the Garden of Eden to dress it, to keep it, right? To work it and, you know, to take care of it. And the work he had to do with the Lord that he got to do, doing all this with the Lord, right? That's, you know, as we in ministry, we get to do these things in ministry. We get to walk with the Lord and we get to have the scriptures by the Holy Spirit revealed to us. We're living day by day as you're with the Holy Spirit, right? As the ladies were walking, that topic was the road to Emmaus, you know, that wonderful chapter, Luke 24 of Jesus being with the two disciples walking on that road verse 27 says, starting with Moses and all the prophets. So think of Jesus going through the whole Old Testament with the disciples, teaching them about himself and all these things of what the scriptures say, right? Of who and what he did. And so we, with the Holy Spirit, all these things, we're walking on the road to Emmaus right now with the Holy Spirit walking with us and teaching us all these things in starting with Moses and Genesis and walking through the prophets, revealing himself of what Jesus did and all these. And so I think it's exciting as we look at this. And the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, commanded the man. So now you look at God's commandments. God gives a command because we're not robots. We know that. And God gives them a choice, right? Where is love without a choice? You may have heard it said, if I forced my wife to love me, would it really be love? If I forced her to do things, if God forced us to serve him and to go into ministry and to preach the gospel, if he forced us to do that, what, you know, or is it a burden? Is it a, I got to do this? Do I have to do all these things? You know, is that God giving man a choice, right? Out of love. And we know, chapter 3, what happens, but God gives a command. He tells them, but, so remember this, God says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay, so highlight that verse as we look at chapter 3 and what Eve's response will be to the serpent, right? She adds a little bit to it from what God tells her. You know, this is what God tells them, Adam and Eve, right? Thou shalt surely die, okay, if thou eatest of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then the Lord, looking on man, right, thinking upon man, The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Okay. I will make him an helpmeet for him, a helper, right? And thinking upon man, right? You think of Adam walking in the garden, dressing it, keeping it with the Lord, right? Has everything he needs and, you know, has God, he's with God, doing, you know, thinking he's got it made, right? But God, looking upon man, sees that he needs a helpmeet. So as we look at male and female, right? We looked at foundational, right? A genetically formed male. That's something we have to say now. A genetically born male and a genetically born female. Male and female. Marriage. God institutes marriage and what marriage picture looks like. From the beginning, the origin of marriage from God, right? The idea of marriage. And God tells us, one man, one woman, okay? He doesn't make Adam three or four wives, right? He makes him one. In verse 19, he says, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Okay. And every fowl, fowl birds of the air and brought them unto Adam. God brings these animals to Adam. And I would always, as a kid, think, you know, that must have been, how long did that take, you know, to go in and search and find all these things. But God, if I would have looked closer to what God's word says, I would see that God brought all these animals to Adam, just as he did bringing them unto the ark. And to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Think of the intelligence that God gives Adam as he, you know, born, made, you know, as he's made with age, right? He's a full adult with knowledge and everything. He didn't have to learn all this that God gave him. And God gave names to all cattle. And to the fowl of the air and to every beast and dinosaur and everything that walked the earth, right? Is just how beautiful that would have been as we, you know, just if you look at just how, what that would have looked like. I was looking, this made me kind of think of too, I grew up, I wasn't really a big fan of it, but if you remember Avatar, this is 20 years ago, whatever. And I always remember the reports of people, kids, or they would watch this movie Avatar and I just remember the phenomenon of it and how like they were being depressed because these people thought just the beauty of the imagery of Avatar and just how it all the, what it looked like was, you know, it put people into a depression because they were like, it was so much greater than what we have now. And I just thought that was interesting, you know, and as we look at just, you know, if you use your imagination of what God's creation would have looked like back when he created it, just the beauty, the splendor, just how the size of the trees and the beauty of the trees, how they were all pleasant to the sight and all the food, the different types of food that were produced on these trees and just how amazing that was, right? But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him, okay? And the Lord God does this. He causes a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs out of his side and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman or Isha, right? Man is Ish, and she is Isha, woman. You know, everybody does the joke, whoa, man, as God brings the woman to Adam and, you know, but she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, become one flesh, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed, right? They're in peace with God and man and woman. Right, created that marriage, you know, as we look at this chapter 2 and what's to come for us, that marriage supper of the Lamb, the picture of the church, right, with God, right, of what that marriage will look like, the marriage feast of the supper, right, that we're going to eat. And, you know, I was talking with the kids this week, you know, and thinking, you know, I'm going to be with, you know, I was telling them, I'm going to be with God learning how to cook and all the amazing meals, and I'm going to be in the mess hall, you know, prepping the food and making the dinner. That's what I hope to be is I love food. I'm a foodie. I just love all the different types of food and I find great pleasure in eating. And so I'm excited for all of what God has for us in the future. And so Romans 5, 1 through 2, thinking of God being at peace with mankind here up to this point. And as we came out of chapter 1 in Genesis, you know, that title being by faith. So therefore, you know, us being justified by faith, if you've put your faith in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so now I want to take that chapter, what we just went through, thinking of chapter 2, and I want to take a look at John 14. And what we have to look forward to. So open up your Bibles, John 14. Jesus, after he washes the disciples' feet in chapter 13, and he's headed to the cross, right? His face is set like flint to the cross to Jerusalem. And Jesus, as he's talking with the disciples, they're getting close to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he takes the time to spend with his disciples, and he tells us these wonderful words. He gives us these promises, right? As we look at the promises of God, as we get into chapter 3 and what God will do by the enmity between the serpent and Jesus, right? John 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus tells his disciples. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He tells them, "I go to prepare a place for you." So these are our promises that we have, that we hold on to, that we have, that we've received the gospel. This is what he tells us. This is what we're looking forward to. This is what he is going to prepare a place for us. And then Jesus tells them, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." He will come and get us. So that's our blessed hope, that we come and we edify and we exhort each other, that we're looking forward to this rapture, being taken out of this earth. The Bible clearly teaches, right, that we'll be taken out of here, and he will come again and receive you to myself. And he says, "Where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, thank you, Thomas. He says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, you know, thank you, Thomas, right, for asking this question, right? Jesus said to him, "I am the way," right? Jesus lays it out completely, like black and white. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me," right? So as you're with your friends, your coworkers, right? This is the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. He is the only way to heaven. As we looked at the old path, was it 2 weeks ago, right? The old path, Jeremiah 6:16, right? As Jeremiah, the old prophet, getting us to the old path, these old truths of what the Bible says, of these, listen to 2 weeks ago in Matthew 16, we looked at how the enemy is trying to corrupt the scriptures. And so we're exhorted to get back to the old of what the Word of God says. And now we're at this Laodicean church age where everything has been thousands of different translations, right? We're exhorted to get back to the old. We have amazing resources. By the click of the finger, we can look back at what these old Hebrew and Greek words mean. We can just click it with our finger. There's no effort, so we shouldn't be complaining about an old King James or New King James. We have all these resources with a touch of the finger. And Jesus says, "I am the way," right? He is that old path that he is talking about in Genesis. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." Right? This amazing mystery of the Trinity, right? The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Elohim, one what, three who's, You know, is Jesus all Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at once? They can all be in one place at one time. They all three can be at separate places at what, you know. I can't explain it to you, right? This is something that God is going to have to explain to us for eternity as he teaches us these things as we're with him for eternity. Because this, you know, it's hard for me to grasp, right? Jesus says, believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves that he's been doing and showing them through that 3 years of ministry. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Right? Look at the works that God, you know, the works and the rest that Jesus provides. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then he goes on to say in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. As we, you know, as God looks upon us, right? He thinks upon us. He gives us a helper, right? And so wherever I go, God comes with me, right? I'm never alone, right? So as I, you know, prepare a study, come up here, I'm not alone right now, right? I'm with the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking through, right? That helper, that paraclesis, right? The paraclete of the Holy Spirit, right? That he may abide with you forever. That promise of the Holy Spirit that he sent on that day of Pentecost, and offering the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that once we believe and receive, God seals us with his Holy Spirit. And then how much more he will give gifts to those that ask. And so as you're, you know, ask for those gifts, right? That personal, and then the Holy Spirit is a person, right? The, you know, personality. There's, you know, the three persons of the Trinity. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also, right? The good news that he's alive and ascended into heaven with the right hand of the Father. Just as he said, and all the witnesses, right? At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, right? John 15, as we go in, you know, well, if you keep reading on your own time, John 15, you know, talks about of, if you love me, you will obey me, right? And then us in our way of thinking, well, if I'm not obeying him and doing all these things, then I must not be saved. And just that lie of the enemy that will come in and be like, oh, you sinned all week. And he starts to create doubt as well. We're going to enter into chapter 3. And what is his play is to create doubt, right? Did God really say you're saved? You keep sinning all week and creating doubt. But God revealing through his word that by believing, by faith, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by what he did, right? The comfort that you can take that it's his works. And then his commandments, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in loving your neighbor and loving God first and then love and loving our neighbors second like it. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. As I remember, we talked about him upbraiding the disciples for their unbelief. Here he is just hours before being crucified on the cross, clearly telling them. And now I have told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. That he's, those words kind of imply like it's, let's do this. It's go time. Let's go to the cross, right? Him setting his face to go to the cross. And so, chapter two, you know, that the promise. So I want to remind you, believers, as you're going through hard times, as you're, you know, as we're walking through this life, just what the promises we have to look forward to of the amazing place God is preparing for us. And we'll be with him for all of eternity. And just, you know, think of Jesus in the resurrection, you know, coming in. You know, how did it work? He walked through walls, through rooms, and then they could touch him and feel the holes in his hands and put their hand in the side. And there was a, and then he cooked that meal with the disciples in Galilee, you know, cooking and eating, and just, you know, and that we will have that resurrected body that he's preparing for us. And the marriage supper of the Lamb to eat with him, and just that want to excite you into what we have to look forward to. He goes to prepare a place for us. And he has promised us the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So you have access to the Holy Spirit by believing and receiving what Jesus did on the cross, right? And that, you know, the gospel, the good news, I've said it over and over and just want to say it again, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, right? That conviction of the truth, that what the Holy Spirit does, convicting me of the truth of what he did, you know, and I can see that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior I need help, right? Go back to that title. I need help. You know, hope you can humble yourself to say, I need help, right? I am poor and needy, in need of help. So cry out, pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. And he promises it, that helper. And we'll look forward to chapter three, read ahead next week, chapter three, and see what Eve says and Adam, what Adam says, and that nature that we inherit to prove that we do need a Savior and that he, we'll talk about the cross again next week and what he says in chapter three. So read ahead to stay ahead. And I hope that it would bless you tonight, that, I'm looking forward to the life to come, man. I'm excited for that place he's preparing for me and all the things we get to do with him and the 1,000-year millennial reign and just what that will look like, that new heaven and new earth that he's preparing and creating, and the new Jerusalem that'll come from heaven, the streets paved with gold, as you looked at chapter two, and the gold of that land, that which was good. And so I just praise you, Lord. Thank you for tonight, Lord. And I pray that we all would have our hearts right with you, Lord. And what that wonderful prayer that Peter says, Lord, that simple three-word prayer that he prays as he steps out of the boat by faith and by the unbelief of seeing the storms and the waves, that he cries out, Lord, save me, Lord. And so we can just cry out that same prayer, Lord, save me, the sinner needing to be saved, Lord. If there's anybody in here that hasn't received, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that they would receive today, Lord, and be convicted of the truth just by creation and what you created, and that we can take this creation account of chapter one and chapter two by faith, Lord. It's, you know, science and experts in this field are trying to figure this out and carbon date everything, and enemies trying to sow seeds of doubt in us, Lord, but we can come and take you at your word. And so we just praise you tonight, Lord. Thank you for the kids all sitting well and through the study. And so just thank you for your love and thank you for your help tonight. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.